So starting today, we're going to talk about the book of Romans. Jean, could you read that? Chapter 1.
Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God. By his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to come to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to be to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last, by God's will, the name may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I've planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them power in the sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them power, gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them.
Now, after reading the first chapter, Let me ask you the first question. Is this letter written by Paul to whom? Who is the recipient? The believer or the non-believer? Joshua? The recipients of this epistle, the recipients of this letter are believer or non-believer? Is that letter written to Christian or non-Christian? Joshua, could you read that? Chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. And tell me the answer.
Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures, concerning the signs. Who in human nature was the descendant of David, who through the spirit of holiness declared with power to the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead and the resurrection of the Lord. Through him, for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called along to Jesus. To all in Rome who are led by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ.
The recipients are Christian or non-Christian?
Christian.
So if they are the Christian, why Paul is sharing the gospel with them? And in verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. They have faith in Jesus Christ, right? Do they have faith in Jesus Christ? Their faith is being reported all over the world. That means they are believers. But then what's the reason why Paul writing the book of Romans? Now this is only one of the reasons. But the reason why Paul wants to see them is to impart spiritual gift to them. But the letter was sent before his arrival, right? So what's the reason why he write the letter? Rome like New York, okay, and then?
The matter of the world, the people influence, the temptation, and
okay. I want you to write it down so that you know for sure why you know what? If you don't know the purpose why Paul writing this letter, later on in your life, you being a Christian, you being the one who has faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, but although we have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, from time to time, we disobey God, right? We sin against God, right? Then you don't know which book should I read. I tell you one thing. When you have faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ, and yet you don't bear fruit, yet you don't have peace in your heart, yet you are not living a fruitful life, yet you are stumbling all the time, this is the book you should read. The book of Romans. Okay? Book of Romans is not to the non-Christian. Oh, I see. A lot of people, they thought book of Romans is for the non-Christian. But I want to stress out clearly to you, to verse 7, to all in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be saints. They are called to be saints. That means they are believers, right? They call to be saints. But do they live like a saint? Call to be saints is one thing. Live like a saint is another thing. Hannah, do you understand what I'm trying to say? You call to be a
You're called to be a lady, but you act like a man, then that's no good. Right? Right? Called to be a saint, because the live like a saint. That's the reason why he write that letter to those people who belongs to Jesus. In verse 6, you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. You are called to belong to Jesus Christ, but you live like you belong to yourself. What does it mean by you live like belong to yourself? You keep on doing what you like to do, do you belong to Jesus Christ? What does it mean by, is it the Honda you park in the driving? Is that your Honda? Is that belongs to you? At this moment, maybe belongs to you, but do you pay for it? You don't pay for it. You don't pay for insurance, nor do you pay for the car, right? But you get the privilege to drive the car. Now, that's a different story. The Bible says you are called to belong to Jesus. But if you refuse to let Jesus to use your body, you are called to belong to Jesus, but you live your own life. You don't belong to Jesus. You know what does it mean by that car belongs to me? 24/7 I can use it. And I get a key. I can drive wherever I like that belongs to me. We are called to belong to Jesus, but if you live your own life, then you don't belong to Jesus. You are called to belong to Jesus. You don't act like that you belong to Jesus. Like you're called to be a saint, but you live an unholy life. Then you're not a holy person. Do I make myself clear? So in other words, when I'm called to be Christian, but I don't act like a Christian, this is the book I should read. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Now I show it to you. I want you to turn to chapter 1, verse 5. I read that to you. Chapter 1, verse 5. Through him, that means through Jesus Christ, and for his name's sake, for the name of Jesus Christ, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. In other words, Paul realized one thing. When he go from place to place to preach the gospel, when he go to synagogue, a lot of people proclaim to have faith in Jesus Christ, and yet they don't obey Jesus. Write these two words in front of the title, Roman, okay? Having faith is not good enough. Having faith plus obedience. Do you remember we have a spiritual hymn, like in our hymn of life, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Have you ever sing that song? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. That fellow who write that song, he fully understand what the Roman is talking about. Paul going to various churches and find out Christian, they have faith in Jesus, but they don't obey Jesus. And that's the reason why he write this book. Obedience is come from faith. Obedience is an act of faith. Does it make sense? Having faith in Jesus is not good enough. If it's good enough, Paul don't need to write the letter. Why? Because 1:8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Because your faith is being reported all over the world. Paul didn't say that you don't believe in Jesus Christ. Paul said that you people believe in Jesus Christ, right? But believing in Jesus Christ and without obeying Jesus,
is the person who doesn't bear fruit.
I want you to write down faith plus obedience. What do you have? You have salvation and sanctification. Then for sure, you're going to bear fruit and you're going to glorify God.
And you live a fruitful life.
That is the reason why Paul write the book of Romans. You know what? He's afraid because he's writing 16 chapters. You know what?
When you read the book, you see it in one setting. To read the book of Romans, in one setting, is around 1 hour to 1.5 hour. If you read it without, you don't need to fully understand it, right? When you keep reading it, sometimes you skip something. You don't understand, right? If you keep reading it, just like how Jean read that Romans chapter 1, all the way to chapter 16, in order for you to understand, it takes around 1 to 1.5 hours for you to finish it.
You know what? Whatever I say to you now, an hour later, I guarantee you, you forget. Unless you pay careful attention to what you hear at the very beginning. And let me tell you one thing. When you read a book, make sure you read the first page. Because if he's a good author, he's supposed to tell you what he's going to tell you at the very onset, at the very beginning, right? And if he's a good preacher, he should what? Tell you, hey, I say so much thing within that hour and a half, right? But I want to recall, hey, this is the main thing that I want you to understand. So go to the last chapter, chapter 16. You write down 1:15, and then you write 16, chapter 16, verse 25 to 27.
So what do you write down?
1:5 equal to 16.
16 what? 25 to 27. Jean, could you read that? I lost my voice already.
Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Circle two key words. So that all the nation might believe Jesus Christ and obey Jesus Christ. Hey, brother and sister, when you found out that your Christian life don't live a fruitful life because you don't obey God, you better read Romans, okay? Romans is a good book. Help you to live a holy life. Help you to live a godly life. So that when you see Jesus Christ face to face, you're going to come and see him empty-handed. You're going to come and see him with a lot of fruit. Does it make sense? Now I jump. I give you a big picture first, and then so that I want you to enjoy this week and read that Roman. So chapter 1, we have to have faith in Jesus, believe in Jesus, and obedient to Jesus. That obedience comes from faith. Okay? So if this obedience comes from faith, then in 1:5 is equal to what? 1:17. 1:5 is equal to 1:17. Because Paul saying that the righteousness of God is from faith to faith. From faith is the first faith, to faith is obedient. From faith to faith. Do you see 1:5? And 1:17. Joshua, could you read that?
1:17.
Yeah.
When the gospel of righteousness of God is revealed, the righteousness that is by faith, from first to last,
from first to last, what is the first? First is faith, the last is obedience. You see what I mean? Okay, keep reading that one more time. 117.
When the gospel of righteousness of God is revealed, the righteousness that is by faith is first and last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
So what Paul is saying is, I'm not saying what I like to say. What I'm saying is what Habakkuk is saying. He's not saying what he's saying. He's saying what the prophet is saying in the Old Testament. You understand what I'm trying to say? Now, I talk about what is at the beginning. I talk about what is at the ending. Let me talk about in between. It's 16 chapter. What's in between? Chapter 6 and chapter 12. So I want you to spend more time in chapter 1, and then chapter 16, and then chapter 6, and chapter 12. Chapter 6 talk about those people who have faith in Jesus and yet do not obey Jesus. What happened? Okay? They call themselves Christian, to have faith in Jesus, and yet do not obey Jesus. Okay? Called to be saint, but they don't live like saint. Called to belong to Jesus, but they act like they belong to who? Belongs to himself. Okay? I give you some illustration. Chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 11. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its sinful desire. We are supposed to obey who? Obey Jesus. Obey the word of God. How can I obey Jesus instead of obeying my sinful desire? Count yourself dead in sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its sinful desire. Verse 13. Do not offer the part of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who has been brought from death to life, because you are called to belong to Jesus. Then you should offer yourself as a living sacrifice to Jesus, and offer the part of your body to Jesus as instrument of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What happens if I refuse to offer my life as a living sacrifice to God? What happened? Verse 15. What then shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to somebody to obey him as slave, you are slave to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slave to sin, which leads to death. If you claim yourself to be Christian and have faith in Jesus, and yet you offer your body to sin, you don't live like saint, you know what's the end result? It leads to death. That death is eternal death. That is the gospel. Because, you know, when Paul traveled from place to place, he found out a lot of people, they claim themselves to be Christian. They claim themselves to believe in Jesus, but they act like they live in what? They live a wicked life. They don't live a godly life. The only way to live a godly life is offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, as slave to Jesus, not to slave to your sinful nature. Whether you are slave to sin, which leads to death, or you are slave to obedience, which leads to righteousness.
which leads to righteousness that is from faith to faith. That is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. In chapter 1, verse 17. Verse 17. But thanks be to God, though you used to be slave to sin, you wholeheartedly obey the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slave to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural slaves, in your natural self. Just as you used to offer the part of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. Did you say amen, Wesley? So what he's trying to say is that Wesley's trying to say to Pastor John, Pastor John, give me a break. That's what he's trying to say. Is that what you're trying to say, Wesley? No? No? That is in the recording, man. Oh, wow. Where are we? Verse 20. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. And what benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. If we don't live a holy life after we believe in Jesus Christ, the result is death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slave to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness. The result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gifts of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Chapter 6 is a must for you to read. From wickedness to holiness, not to the non-Christian, it's to the Christian. How do I live a wicked life from wicked life to a holy life? As far as Christian is concerned. You understand what I'm trying to say? In chapter 6, and now go to chapter 12. Same thing. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brother, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It is God's will for each and every one of the Christians, not only to have faith in Jesus, but to obey His word. Obey His word how? By offer yourself as a living sacrifice to live for Jesus. You know what? You can pick and choose not to live for Jesus, not to obey Jesus, according to chapter 6. Whoever you obey, you're a slave to who? If you obey sin, you're a slave to sin. Sins lead to death. You obey righteousness, you obey God, it leads to eternal life. You make a choice. Does that make sense? So, how do I read Romans to get the maximum benefit? You read chapter 1, you read chapter 6, you read chapter 12, and then you read what? The last part of chapter 16. Then you know the reason why Paul writing a letter to believers. Not that they don't believe in Jesus, but they only get what? Half of the truth. That's exactly what happened to a lot of churches. They only get half of the gospel. Oh, just have faith in Jesus. It's good enough. No, it's not good enough. You know what? If I claim myself to have faith in Jesus and at home, if I don't study the Bible, I don't even want to meditate on what God said to me. I keep on doing what I like to do. You know what's the end result? I end up living like a Gentile, living like a non-believer. There's no difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, right? If I don't obey God, right? Isn't it? Do you think that will please God? You know what? If Joyce live a life that is pleasing to yourself, you're not pleasing Daddy, right? If you don't live a life pleasing Daddy, who gets suffer? Daddy suffer and you suffer, right? It's a lose-lose, right? But if you live a life that pleasing Daddy and you please the Lord, it's a win-win. Gabriel, could you tell me what have you learned today?
That it's not just about faith, and that means faith and obedience, and that gives you salvation and sanctification. And that the book of Romans is written towards Christians and towards non-believers.
Because Christians, they call themselves to be saints, but they live a wicked life. Christians call themselves to belong to Jesus, and yet they act like they belong to themselves. That's contradictory belief, right? Does it make sense? You know what? Whatever you study,
if you are under a good professor, he will tell you, now I teach you something, you don't remember it, it's okay. But when you need it, you know which book you should look, right? Engineer, you study a lot of books, textbook, right? When you face the problem, you got to know how to find the information. That's the key thing. Okay? Do you understand now? Now you understand. That's good. Okay? Now, I'm going to study verse by verse. I hope that you don't lose sight on what I say. Okay? Because a lot of pastors, a lot of people, they don't know what the Romans are about. Okay? Now you know. When you're in deep trouble, you know where to look for. Go. Chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. I want you to write it down right beside a servant of Christ Jesus. Instead of writing a servant, I want you to write it down a slave. Paul called himself to be what? A slave. Right beside a servant, you write a word slave. And then you go to Romans chapter 6. Why Paul called himself to be slave? Because he knows that. He knows one thing. Verse 16, don't you know? When he say, don't you know, that means Paul knows. He said, I know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slave, you are slave to the one whom you obey. That means Paul obey who? Eh? Who? Jesus Christ. That means Paul wants to live a godly life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Look at me, look at me. What did I say? You read chapter 1, and then what chapter you read? What chapter you have to read? 6. And then? 12. And then 16. Paul called himself to be a servant of Christ Jesus. Original language is a slave of Jesus Christ. Because he said that he's a slave to Jesus Christ, that means he obeyed Jesus. Now I want to stop here. Joshua, are you slave to your girlfriend?
No.
Your daddy, mommy?
Yeah.
Are you telling me your daddy, mommy give you so much blessing you want to be slave to him?
Yeah, exactly.
Let me ask the wise man.
Gabriel, who do you want to be slave to?
He's wiser than you, man. That guy.
Michael, are you a slave to your daddy? Who?
Are you telling me Michael is wiser than you?
Oh, no. He said no. He said no, yeah. No, yeah.
Yes or no? If it's yes, you say yes. If it's no, you say no. Yes or no? You tell me yes or no? You know, Paul saying that Paul is slave of Jesus Christ, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. If Paul claimed himself to be a slave of Jesus Christ, that means he claimed that he obeyed Jesus Christ. If he obeyed Jesus Christ, do you know what's the reason why Jesus Christ died on the cross? Do you know what's the reason why Jesus Christ died on the cross? Submission to God. And what else? Salvation for man. And what else? Because as I said before, the gospel is not just talk about faith in Jesus Christ, also talk about obedience to Jesus Christ. Right? Because Jesus himself has faith in God the Father and obeyed the will of the Father by dying on the cross. Right? He set example for us to follow. He didn't just die for us. He laid down the example for us to follow. Do you know what? Jesus Christ, he was called the Son of the Most High God. Am I right? But in Isaiah chapter 42, what did Isaiah call Jesus Christ? A slave of God. A servant of God. Because he totally obeyed the master. That's what he mean by slave.
For sure. You have to stay around here, otherwise they can't hear.
They can't hear? Is that right? How come you don't have that kind of stuff anymore?
Because that's too much trouble.
Okay. Hey, what do you say?
He's poor, he can't afford a battery. No, that's not the reason. Now, I want to go back to the example.
Do you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, what did Paul say? Follow me because I follow Jesus Christ. Right? Joyce, could you read that? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1.
Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ.
Paul saying that he followed the example of Jesus Christ. What is the example Jesus Christ has laid down in Isaiah chapter 42? Verse 1. Here is my servant. That means here is my slave, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nation, and he will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or to be discouraged until he established justice on earth. In his law the island will put their hope. Everyone put their hope in Jesus.
Jesus Christ is the Son of the Most High God, and yet he's a slave to God. That means he totally obeyed God. So what kind of example the Old Testament painted to me? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is a slave of God. And we have faith in God, so we become Son of God. If we obey God, that means we are what? Hannah? Hey?
Son of God.
If you have faith in God, you are Son of God. If you obey God, that means you act like what? A slave. Jesus Christ laid that example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? Now tell me now, Joshua, are you slave to William and Amy or slave to Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
In the recording, can't even hear your voice. What's the matter with you? Who are you slave to?
Jesus Christ.
Only that short, okay? Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, if we obey Jesus, you're going to have a happy life. You're going to have a blessed life all the day of your life. You're going to enjoy your life. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. I want you to write down Isaiah. First of all, I want you to write down six sixteen, right? I want you to write 6:16. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slave, you are slave to the one whom you obey, whether you are slave to sin, which leads to death, or slave to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Okay? Right beside the word servant, I want you to change the word. Change that slave. And then, I want you to write 6:16. And then I want you to write down Isaiah 42:1. And then I want you to write down 1 Corinthians 11:1. You know what? It is very difficult for a leader to lead people to follow unless that leader did exactly what he said. If he himself refused to be a slave to Jesus, and how can he convince you, persuade you, encourage you to be a slave to Jesus Christ? Does it make sense? He himself, Paul himself, laid down the example. At the very onset, at the very beginning, he said that Paul, a born slave of Jesus Christ, Paul is called to be an apostle. He has a message to tell us. Right beside an apostle, you write down Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 8. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry, in Paul's ministry, as an apostle to the Gentile. I want you to write down 2:8. On top of 2:8, I want you to write down 1, Galatians 2:8, and then Galatians 1:11-12. I want you to know, brother. I want you to know, that means you don't know. But I want you to know, brother. And he himself knows that the gospel I preach is not something that men make up. I did not receive the gospel from any man. I don't receive it from Paul. Paul didn't receive it from Peter, nor did he receive from John, nor from James. Nor was I taught. I wasn't taught by them. Rather, I received the gospel by revelation from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed the gospel to Paul. I also want you to write down 1:11 to 12 and then 1:15. But when God, who set me apart from birth, and God called me by his grace, God was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. I want you to write down 1:11 to 12, 15 to 17. What did I say? Right beside the apostle, you write Galatians 2:8, isn't it? 1:11 to 12. 15 or 16? 15 to 17. Paul, a servant, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel. He know that. You know why Paul is so good among all other people? Do you know why Michael Phelps is so good in swimming? Do you know Michael Phelps? He set apart for swimming. He spent 8 hours every day on swimming. That's why he's so good. But you spend 2 hours swimming, 2 hours on internet, 2 hours playing Monopoly. You are no good in anything. Hey, what did Hannah say? I don't hear.
I said we're good at Monopoly.
Hmm?
I said we're good at Monopoly.
You're as good at a Monopoly?
What is that good at? Good at Dodo good.
It's good at that.
Players can find out.
Oh, man.
I've read it from that.
Oh, man. Have mercy on us, okay? I'm not set apart for Monopoly. I'm set apart for the gospel of God, man. Monopoly lead me to that, you know. And yet, you know, obedient to Jesus Christ as slave to Jesus lead me to righteousness and eternal life. You know what I mean? Okay. You're good at that. Come on.
I'm gonna tell Kate.
He get a heart attack, you know. Brother and sister, if you want to be good at your own career, you should spend more time on the thing you're good at. And somehow God will use you. But at the same time, you have to consider, if you devote so much time in that particular career, you have to ask yourself that question. Am I doing it for myself, or am I doing it for the kingdom of God? If you find out that the reason why you want to spend so much time in your own career, in your own job, in your own family, is for your own sake, all this kind of thing will go down to drain and leads to death.
But if you say that because God called me to do that, you know, God called me to be a good businessman, successful one, so that I make a lot of money and give to the church, so that church can build a bigger church or whatever, and get more people to share the gospel. If that is the case, good for you. You understand what I'm trying to say, Gabriel? You have to ask yourself, when you keep devote yourself so much time set apart for this particular thing, am I doing it for building my kingdom? Do you remember last Sunday, what did I say? King Saul, when he win the battle of America, what did he do? He built a statue. He built a monument. To remember God? No. To remember how successful he is. What's the end result? He was forsaken by God. Does it make sense? He was called to belong to God, and yet he refused to be a slave to the will of God. God said, demolish the Amalekite. And now they kill them, destroy them, right? He spared the king. He spared the herds of a good flock, right? He didn't obey God. God said, you don't obey me? I forsake you. I don't want you to be king to Israel. You lose your job. You lose your eternal life. If you are slave to sins, what does it mean? It leads to what? It leads to death. If you're slave to righteousness, slave to Jesus Christ, it leads to holiness. It leads to eternal life. So you always have to ask the question, I'm struggling, I'm doing this, what am I doing it for? Right? Because eventually, we have to give an account to God. I want you to turn to, actually, Romans 15, supposed the last chapter. 16 is the appendix. Okay? So take a look about 15. What did Paul say? I'm sorry, 14. Take a look at 14. Romans 14, verse 7. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us die to himself alone. Wow. I want you to write right beside 14:7. This statement. Paul spoke to who? Christian or non-Christian? Christian, right? So none of us Christian live to himself alone. None of us Christian die to himself alone. If we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. That means we are slave to who? Slave to the Lord. You know what? The whole book of Romans talk about, are you slave to God or are you slave to sin? Do you obey God or obey your own flesh? You understand? That's a struggle, right? So you have to ask yourself, do you live to the Lord? And die to the Lord. So this book, Romans, is not to the non-Christian, to the Christian, challenging us. Those who has already believed in Jesus, but hasn't made the commitment to carry our own cross and offer our body as a living sacrifice to live for God and die for God. And I'm surprised, you know, Paul
he was an apostle in the very early of his life. Peter was, James was, okay? And John was. And yet, at the beginning, they are not as good as Paul, right? Because he understands the truth earlier. You don't just go to the church and thinking that you have faith in Jesus and belongs to Jesus, and you say, I have the gospel. No, you only have partial gospel. You don't have that obedience. You don't have that slave. Servanthood. That's very important. Paul know that the reason why God set him apart is not to allow him to do his own things. God set him apart is for the gospel of God. Jesus Christ revealed the truth to Paul. God revealed the truth to Paul so that he understand it, and then he want the other people to understand. And that's why he keeps saying, I want you to know, I don't want you not to understand. Because he understands himself, right? That's good. Verse 2, what is the gospel? The gospel God promised beforehand through his prophet in the Old Testament. That means the gospel is not invented, is not created by Paul. The gospel was hidden and was promised in the Old Testament through God's prophet. So in other words, he's not saying anything new. He's saying something from the Old Testament. That's very helpful to the Jews. In other words, if you call yourself to be a Jewish people, then you say, do you believe in Old Testament? If you believe in the Old Testament, you better believe in Romans. Okay? The gospel God promised beforehand, long time ago, through his prophet, not singular prophet, through prophet Isaiah, through prophet Jeremiah, through prophet Daniel, through all prophet Moses, through prophet Abraham, in the Holy Scripture, in the Old Testament and New Testament. Verse 3, regarding his son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David. In other words, God's son, the Bible prophesied, God's son has to be the descendant of David. That is what the prophet said. Can anyone tell me that? That Donald? Because the Bible says the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophet in the Holy Scripture regarding his son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David. God's son got to be a descendant of David. If God's son, if someone claimed himself to be a son of God, the Messiah, and yet he's not a descendant of David, he's a liar. Can anyone tell me where did God promise us? I want you to do this exercise. Okay? Right beside promise, I want you to write a piece of paper. Write a question mark. Where did he promise it? In the Old Testament. I give you a narrow down the passage. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Chronicle, I think 17. Psalm 132. Psalm 2. I want you to study that. Psalm was written by the prophet David. Samuel was Samuel. First Chronicle probably is Ezra. Read that. And then I end it here. Let me check that to want to make sure. Do some exercise, okay? Just read it, see whether you understand it.
Because Bible say, Paul saying that, the gospel, God's promise, through the prophet, in the Old Testament, right? Let me take a look. 2 Samuel, chapter 7. Yeah, that's it. Psalm 132. Yes, that's it. Psalm 2. Yes. And then what else? First Chronicle. Let me check that. 17. First Chronicle. Yeah, 17. And then Prophet Isaiah. 11, 1 and 2. Because Paul say prophets, plural, right? Prophet Isaiah, Prophet David, Prophet Ezekiel, Ezra, Prophet Samuel. You know, I give you just for example. I want you to do some exercise, right? And I see you next week. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you be gracious to us. Every time when we study your scripture, it will be fruitful to each and every one of us. Help us not just to be a hearer of your word and deceive ourselves. Help us to be a doer of your word so that we will be blessed in all we are doing. Every time when your servant opens his mouth to explain your word, I pray that you fill him with the Holy Spirit and fill him with your word. So that as he explains your word, your children understand because they belong to you. Those who belong to you and recognize your voice. And knowing that what Paul is saying is exactly what is written in the scripture. He didn't create that. He didn't invent that. He just discovered through his study, through his diligent studying the gospel. Because he was set apart for the gospel. So as to preach the gospel. And I pray that you help us. In our own career, in our own job, in our own study, set apart for being a student. And I pray, especially for Michael, give him wisdom as a student to be a diligent student. Set apart to be a student so that he be successful in all his study. Also pray for Gabriel, same thing. Give him wisdom, give him understanding. Give him spirit of truth, spirit of wisdom and revelation. Whether he studied the Bible or studied secular book, doing his assignment, give them wisdom so that they set apart to do the thing and do it well. Lord, I pray that you be with each and every one of us. Bless us. I also pray for wisdom for Joshua, for Gabriel, for Hannah, for Joyce, for Jean, for Christopher, for David, for Carl, Michelle, Emily, and Gabrielle, Donald, and Simon, and also to your servant, and to your mate, to all your children. We need that. We don't want to waste time. We want to, when we study your word, you give us insight, give us hidden manna, for we are slaves to Jesus. When you let us know your word, we want to be slave to you, total obedient to you, which leads to holiness and leads to fruitful life. And I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.